Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence here among us. May you continue to minister to each and every one of us. Amen. We have the conference slide up. If you didn't know, Alison and I were at a conference. We had an amazing time. We are exhausted, but we had an amazing time. Just to give you some idea of how intense it was, the first evening, the last session started at 10:15. So if you think we were on holiday, think again. Because it was intense from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9, 10, 11, 12 o'clock at night. But it was amazing. So I wanted to share a little bit with you. So I'm going to ask Alison to come and share with you first what you brought back with you.
I brought back a cold. I have tested and I'm negative, just to reassure you. I just wanted to say a couple of things. Well, before that, thank you very much for allowing us to go,
because
it was amazing.
That's it.
There we go. And as you can imagine, with a room full of leaders, people in leadership, it was just intense. And the worship was amazing. But one thing that really struck me, there was a prophetic artist, stood at the front. So as his worship, he was painting, and I found that fascinating. And interestingly, when I said to Rosie, she said, "He was at the front. They didn't stick him at the back." And it just brought home to me, I know we can worship God in everything we do, but sometimes we tend to sort of compartmentalize as Sunday morning worship as something different. But when I looked around the room, there were people worshipping in all sorts of different ways. You know, there were people with their arms in the air, someone painting, and some people were just still. And it just kind of brought home to me, it's okay. Wherever you are with your traditional form of worship, it's okay. God loves us to worship him in our own ways, and he's made us all different. And I just found that a real benefit. And the other thing I wanted to say was, somebody had a vision of the angels looking down and joining in, heaven touching earth, and our worship joining in with the angels. And that was amazing. It was amazing. And I thought, we're in this together, as we're all going to go away from this conference to our different churches, but we're not alone in our churches. We've got this together. And that for me was really encouraging.
Thanks, Alison.
Okay.
One of the things, the conference was very much about the future, and it was dealing with how hard the pandemic had been on ministers and those in leadership. And before we'd gone, Alison and I and Chris and Otmar had talked about what next for the church. You know, I'm here, you're here, what next? And part of what I'd been doing with the different style of Sunday mornings was to bring you closer to God, because that is first and foremost what we're here for, to grow in God and spend more time with God. As the conference went on, and there is a plan, Alison and I have been discussing a plan of what we were going to be doing on the next couple of months. And in the conference, it kept coming up about how broken people were, how tired they were. And at one point, they said, "What's the state of your church?" And I couldn't help it, but I went, "Woohoo!" And a number of people went, "Can we go to our church, please?" And Alison and I started to feel a little bit uncomfortable, because we were like, couple of months ago, maybe this would have been where we were. But actually, us coming together as minister and church, we are so excited. We're so excited for what God has for Springfield Park. And we couldn't contain it. And there's all these people talking about being tired, lacking enthusiasm. And there's Alison and I going, yay! And we were like, are we at the wrong conference, maybe? But actually, God started to move. The presence of God in that room was unbelievable. And there was one night, I think it was the first one, where they wouldn't stop dancing and they wouldn't stop worshipping. Now, as you know, I've had COVID and I'm struggling with fatigue. And I turned around to Alison and went, I'm not going to be able to get out of bed in the morning, because I was just taken up with the praise of what a wonderful God we have. And we were dancing and jumping and hands in the air. It was like a party. Sorry, not a good word to have around at the moment, but it was. And everyone was masked, just so you know. Not a good word for that. But then God started to speak to both Alison and I about, you've got this. What you have planned has come from me. It isn't from you, which is what we don't want. At no point do any of those of us in leadership want this to be about us. This has to be God. Okay? Nothing else is good enough. And throughout the conference, both in the worship, in the preaching, in the prophecy that came out in the seminar, there wasn't a single conversation we had that did not affirm what we wanted to do for this church in God. God continually kept saying to us, you've got this. I've given you what you need. I've put the two of you together, church and minister, and you're made for each other. And it was amazingly, it just was overwhelming, wasn't it? Just completely overwhelming that God has got us as a church and as one body. It was 3 days of immense blessing and exceedingly tiring. But it's good to know that where we're going is where God wants us. And my continued prayer is that never changes. So over the next few months, we're going to be looking at what it means to be church and what it means to be a member, what it means to be a child of God, what you expect from church, what church expects from you. Now, you might be thinking, gosh, this is a bit basic. And that's fine, because I'm not going to make any apologies, because I know this is what God wants. And there has been a time through the pandemic where we have scattered, where things have changed for all of us, where some of us are exhausted, some of us are weary, and some of us have just had enough. And there are others of us that are going, woohoo! Which is great.
I'm still going, woohoo, and I always will be woohoo.
Excellent. You carry on woohooing, Arthur, and I'll woohoo with you. But if you're struggling, those that are celebrating, spend time with them. Ask them what it is that they're getting excited about. Share together. Okay, that's what church family is. Okay, and we're going to be hearing a lot more about that. Today, we're looking at the vision for the church. Now, this is interesting because I struggled with this through my training because I kept asking, but how do you do vision? And nobody could answer the question. But for here, I got a vision for you as a church before I was even your minister. And God has continued to push into that. And that's what we're going to look at today. So, let's pray a sec. Lord, I pray that you would bless the words I'm about to speak and that they may be your words and not mine. Bless our ears, that they may be open to your guidance. Bless our eyes, that we may see you at work within us. Bless our hearts, that they would be open to all your blessings. And bless our minds, Lord, that we would understand all that you are offering us as a church. Amen. We're not going to have a set Bible reading today, but there's a lot of Bible references I'm going to give you. So the first one is Acts 2, 44 to 47. All the believers were gathered together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So you have a group of believers who have something in common. And that is their faith and belief that God could move. Nothing in their lives was protected, was separate from that. They were prepared to sell property, sell possessions, in order that nobody within their group would be in need. They met together. Just as we are meeting this morning, they would break bread together in their homes and would eat together. Well, you've already got that one down, haven't you? So we're all right there. They were praising God and enjoying his favour. And what was the effect of that? That their number daily was added to by those saved. Now that's my prayer, I don't know about you. That we would see people added to our number through being saved. Okay. So that's what's been laid on my heart. And I kept getting a repeated phrase. Can we have the slide up, please? Right, I'm using technology this morning, so let's have some fun, right? They handed me a clicker and went, all you've got to do is press the button. So I pressed the button and nothing happened. But apparently, I don't just need to press the button, I actually need to turn it on. Me, simple, keep things simple with IT. Okay, so this is it. This is the vision for this church. Blessing in community. Does that make sense to you? Do you think that's something you could get behind? Blessing in community. It's a good idea for us to remember why we gather together and what God is calling us to as a church. We dedicate our lives to God and we are called to live as his children, to spend time with him, which we were doing over the last couple of weeks. That love for God then spreads to each other, that we are called to have community with each other. We are not a social club. You might be interested to know. We're family. We're family. We are called to love each other no matter what, even when they're driving you mad. We are called to live real life together, not to have to hide when things are hard or we're struggling. Actually, this should be the first place you come when that is happening. So when you're having a crisis, who's the first person you pick the phone up to? Is that a member of your church family or not? And if it isn't, why not? Because that shows me that we're not being family together. And all that we receive isn't just for us. It's for us to share with everybody else. Because if we get this right, they'll be banging on the door because they'll want what we have. So, blessing in community. I'm going to break that down a second if my little button works. Yee-hee! So we are community with God. We have time together. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all things will be given to you as well. We cannot do any of this without God. We cannot do any of this without us spending time with God. We will not be able to achieve any of this without allowing God to transform us into who he made us to be. Life gives us knocks. Life can knock us flat on our butt, if we're honest. But who picks us up? Who's the one we turn to but God? Now, whether you take those knocks further with you, please don't give me your cold, Alison. Just so you know, I test every Sunday morning, just so you know. We cannot do this without God. We need to press into God. We can choose to do that, or we can choose to let life's knocks shape our lives moving forward. Because we don't have to do that. We have an awesome God who heals and who works in us and through us. And therefore, we can choose to search God. Who am I? Who am I at the core of who you created me to be? What behavior do I have that has come about because the world has knocked me down? Were you aware of that? You're all looking at me blank-faced. Put your hand up if you knew God could change your behavior. Okay? Who of you knew that life can make us behave a particular way because of our experience? Okay, great. So you're with me. You know what I'm saying. Okay, that's all right. Just checking. Just thought it'd be a good idea to check. So, James 4:8 says, come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. I don't know about you, but there are times where I have an argument with God in my head where God's telling me to do one thing and I'm going, yeah, but I'm too tired. Really? Do I have to? Or are you purer than I am? We know the right choice a lot of the time. There may be times we don't and God meets us there. But most of the time we know what God's asking of us. But we're in two minds, aren't we? But I might look a fool if I do that. I might look daft if I say that. But the more time we spend with God and the more time we are open to him changing us, and allowing us to be who he created us to be, the easier that becomes. Because that voice in your head that pulls you away from God grows quieter. So spend time. Matthew 6:6 says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Let me change the words there for you a bit. When you spend time with God, go into a private space. Remove distractions and just have a chat. It might be that you chat. It might be that you just sit there. We sang. More of your presence, Lord. That's what we want. So if you find the word pray intimidating, which I know some people do, you're just having a chat. What do you do with your friends? How do you get to know your friends? How do you stay connected with them? It's all God wants. John 15:1-5 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. It's a lot of vining and branching and pruning and basically spend time with God. You will become more fruitful because God has a plan for each and every one of us and us together. So let's see if this works again. Yee-hee! So the second part of it is community with each other. Like I said, if you're in trouble, who's the first person you phone up? And is it a member of your church family? Because it should be. If we're doing life together properly, it should be automatic. And if it isn't, we've got some work to do. In God. God's got work to do. Are we real with each other? If somebody says to you, how are you doing? What do you say? I'm fine, thanks. Are you?
Sometimes we're not, but we are.
When you explain to people how you're feeling, they're like, I've just got to go and do this.
Yes. So are we going to do real life together where when somebody says to you, how are you doing? When you say that to someone, are you prepared to sit down with them for half an hour when they blubber out on you that the world's falling apart, they don't know where to go and they don't know what to do? Yeah? It's a reasonable question to ask because actually, as family of God, we should be asking that of each other. What do you need? What do you need today? Don't know about you, I need prayer and I need some sleep. What do you need? How often do you ask that of your friends? How often do you ask that of people at Wet Your Whistle, Coffee Hub? How often do you say, is there anything you need? Can I pray for you? Yes, we have to spend time selflessly because if we're honest about how we feel, we become vulnerable. But then if we're all vulnerable together, we can help each other, support each other, love one another, care for one another. I'm not interested. I am up for messy church. Who's up for messy church? Okay, I have no problem with services going into complete chaos. I don't, because if it is God and if it's God moving, I've not got a problem with that. If God arrives while I'm in worship and says, you know what, I actually don't want you to speak about what you were going to, because actually there's someone here in need who needs prayer, who needs encouraging, and who needs to be family together. I'm up for that. What about you? This is supposed to be the safest place you ever visit. You should be able to make mistakes with no judgment, no criticism, but only love. You up for that challenge? Good. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say and that there is no division among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. When was the last time someone upset you in church? What did you do about it? Did you go home and sulk? Did you go home muttering? Or did you go to that person and say, look, that really upset me. I found that really hard. Now, it's not easy. And sometimes, in fact, the majority of the time, you'll find that when you do that, the person goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry, I had no idea. That was not my intention." You're saved a week of getting wound up and upset and angry, and the two of you have grown in relationship together through being honest. Because if we're in a safe space where we know we love one another, where we know we care for one another, we know we're going to receive no judgment, it's okay to do that. So what are you going to do if I'm up here and I'm preaching and I upset you? Okay. Can I ask you something then? Stop doing that. If I've upset you, come and talk to me. Please, because that is never my intention. But if you don't tell me, there's nothing I can do about it. Now, it might be that actually the reason you're upset is because God's challenging you. At which point, I'm going to offer to pray for you. And if I have upset you because I've done something wrong, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pray with you. We need to be honest with one another. We don't need to be honest with God, because guess what? He knows already. I am not God. Surprise, surprise. I'm not God. I make mistakes. I hurt people. I can fall flat on my face. I can have days where I'm struggling, believe it or not. Because we're all human. Yes, Arthur, we are. So when someone snaps at you or says something nasty, for all you know, the world has fallen apart on them just 20 minutes earlier. You don't know. If we're honest and open with each other, that love will only grow. Those relationships will only grow stronger. And believe me, that when you do that, everyone out there is going to want to be in here. Just like at the conference when they said, "How's your church?" And I went, "Woohoo!" And everyone, "We want to be at her church." People will see, and people will see pure love, acceptance, and non-judgment. Where do you get that in society? Where do you get that out there? We're supposed to stand out as the people of God, and this is how we do it. By loving each other and caring for one another in a genuine way. You need to go deeper in your relationships. Now I'm going to challenge you even further. So if I've made you uncomfortable, guess what? We're going deeper. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So if you've done something wrong, you go to your brother or sister and say, "Look, I really messed up. Will you pray for me?" You don't go to your brother and sister and go, "I've messed up," and get a lecture. All right? If I hear anybody doing that, guess what? I'm going to come and talk to you because I've been upset. All right? We are all human and we all make mistakes. And none of us, not a single one of us here, is better than anybody else. Some of us may have certain things sorted that other people don't. But guess what? That other person may have stuff sorted that you don't. None of us is better than anyone else. And the sooner we learn that, the sooner we can grow our relationships together in love. Because if somebody's sharing something with you and you're going, oh my life, I can't believe they're doing that. You are saying, I'm better than you. And we're not. When that person shares with you, your heart should break before God and you should be praying for them. Because that allows us, as Ephesians 4 says, to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling, slander, and along with every form of malice. So be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgive each other, as in Christ God forgave you. Your first instinct is to say, I forgive you. How often can we honestly say that is our first thought? I forgive you. So let's do relationship together, because then we can do community with community. Because Matthew 28:19 says, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I want the cover to be off. I want to hear the water running, because I want to see non-believers believe and be baptized. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our Lord, to comfort all who mourn. God's not happy. God wants this world turned around, and we're the people he's asking to do it. So let's get right with one another, so that we may go out there and shine his light. Matthew 23:11, the greatest among you will be your servant. Do you have a servant heart? If you see something that needs doing, are you happy to do it when no one sees? Or do you want to do it when everyone can see you and everyone can say thank you? The most moving part of the conference for me was that at the last session, the speaker asked for all the single ministers, soul ministers, or senior pastors to stand. Alison was quite shocked at how few of us there were. Less than a quarter of the room? Yeah. And we stood up and he turned around and said, thank you for your bravery and your courage. Now all of us say thank you, and the whole room applauded, at which point I just burst into tears, because God was healing me. Because for 2 years in a pandemic, I have been locked in an office until I came here. I have been locked in an office doing everything written. So my previous church was sent out leaflets. So it was all written. It went on Zoom a little bit, but not majoritively. I'm dyslexic. Writing is hell for me. So my whole job became a place that I don't like. But I had a number of conversations where people said, well, what are you doing? My workload had doubled, and everyone was like, but you're not doing anything anymore. And how do you think the envelope comes through your door? And I hadn't realized that actually it started making me a little bit bitter. And it wasn't until that guy told us to stand up and everybody clapped that I just crumbled, because I realized I was holding on to, actually, I'm supposed to do that in service. It doesn't matter if I get a thank you. But actually, it's good to appreciate each other. So if we're in this loving community together, we will be saying thank you to each other. I'm not saying stop, but what I'm saying is our first place should be to do in service to one another. The thank you's automatic after that. Hebrews 6:10. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. I've got a load of Bible references here. I could keep reading them out to you. And there were loads more. Because the Bible continually tells us that we should love our enemies and do good to them. Lead to them without expecting to get anything back. We offer our service with no reward. But our God sees. And we will be rewarded. But we are God's handiwork. Created through Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us. So, you up for being a blessing in community? To be in community with God, to be in community with each other, and community for and with the community outside. You up for it? Okay. If you're up for it, I'd like you to stand up, please. I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I'm going to ask you to declare a covenant to each other and to God. If I can have the next slide. Lovely, thank you. So all together, I'd like us to read this out. Because you are saying you agree to everything I've said this morning and to what is said. All right? Okay. This day, we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other, to be bound together in fellowship and to work together in the unity of the Spirit for the sake of God's mission in this community. Amen. You may sit down. Now, let me move some stuff. Oh, pen. Oh, no, I've got one here. Right. You're going to be hearing a lot about community in community. You're going to hear a lot about community with God, community with each other. Because that's where we're going. Everything we do within this church should fit within that. And if it's not, come and speak to me because we'll get it changed. Okay? So, I would like you to form a socially distanced queue. Either grab a pen of your own if you're happier to have a pen of your own, or there's one here. And I would like you to sign in this book. I have written out what you've just said. The only difference is I've put the date. So I've put on this day, Sunday the 16th of January 2022, we give ourselves again to the Lord and to each other, to be bound together in fellowship and to work together in the unity of the Spirit for the sake of God's mission in this community. You are then going to sign here. It is also dated. And every year, we're going to look at how we're doing. So every January, we're going to have a service where we're going to look at whether or not we are doing well in this. And then we're going to look at how we're going to move forward in it. Okay? You up for that?
Yes.
I think that keeps us focused, and I think that means God can start working in us and working out there. So if you come and you sign the book, I would also like you, if you're happy, to put your date of birth. Because as family, we would like to celebrate your birthdays. And trying to find out from people when people's birthdays are is proving to be a nightmare. So I thought, you know what? You don't have to put the year if you're self-conscious about it. All right? So I'll let you miss off the... But that's optional. It's entirely up to you. I would love you to do it, though, because I would love to know when we celebrate God's gifting of you to us. So if you'd like to, you can come up this part of the stage and then off and go and sit down. Please. On your marks, get set, go. If you're at home, you can please send me an email with your name if you would like it put into the book, and I'll stick it in the book for you by proxy. Or if you're not here but you'll be here at some point, you may come and put your own name in the book. So just if you're not here doesn't mean you miss out.